Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you at a special time today. We will replay this at our normal time later, but it is early. We are on to give you a draft, NBA draft recount, talk just a little bit about the Super Bowl and basically get this day rolling with the big, big day in the NBA and the NBA trade deadline yesterday. I figured that the only way to do it justice was to kind of give it its own standalone time, even though it's not standing alone. But it sounded good, didn't it? Anyway, thank you for joining us today early at this special time. Have the one only Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer, going to be joining us in a few minutes. And obviously, Philadelphia was involved. Trade of the day. James Harden for Ben Simmons, and a whole bunch of stuff. And then, of course, we had the NBA draft, all-star team draft, Team LeBron. Wow, I can't see. It's obviously early. Team LeBron against Team Durant. And I love Durant's extra pettiness, if you want to call it that. I will. I think it's actually great. We'll get into that as well. Too. And like I said, all of these trades that went on yesterday. We'll do all that all right after this. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Channel Heights. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You too can become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. There's everything you need back there to make yourself feel at home. Refrigerator, microwave, ice maker. They do serve beer and wine. And if you don't become a member, no worries. Still plenty of great places for you to sit, relax, and watch all the TVs. They do show all the games, all the sports leagues. In fact, they're having a big game party this Sunday. So make sure you are down there for that. It is a blast. I've done it 1,000 times. You will have a great time. Now, if you can't make it down in person, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. If you order early enough in the day, your sticks will ship out the exact same day. Again, they do serve beer and wine when you're down there. Let them know the PLR sent you. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. So get on down there and check them out. Like I said, if you let them know that I sent you, you get 10% off of your cigar purchase. All right, so without further ado, let's get into these trades yesterday. Obviously, the headline trade was James Harden. I'm going to give my thoughts on that. I'm still thinking about Daryl Morey on this one. And what he did with Ben Simmons before anything. And when he was speaking about, well, he has to have a comparable trade, fair enough. He's not just going to trade him just for the sake of trading him. Okay, which makes sense. He wanted to get something back for him that was comparable. Makes sense. He's not just going to do anything that's not going to give Philadelphia the best chance to win or just take back a bunch of role players for him. Makes sense. So he went big game money. He went big game money, at least publicly. At least publicly, he went big game hunting. Rumors were out there that he was trying to get C.J. McCollum or Dame Dollar or big names only. And not only did he want them players, he wanted draft picks to go along with it. So, for example, you'd have to send him Dame and then some picks. So he wanted the world for Ben Simmons. And nobody was going to give him the world for Ben Simmons. But he was going to ask for it. And he was going to go down with the ship. He was going to hold on to him. And there was nothing you could do to stop him. And if Ben wanted to sit out, Ben was going to sit out. And it's really just that simple. But at the end of the day, he actually gave to get. He got James Harden, but he gave up Ben Simmons, gave up Seth Curry, gave up Andre Drummond, gave up a 2022 first-round pick, gave up a 2027 first-round pick. Why? Why? That is a lot. Now, I know that's his guy. I know that he wanted him. It almost seems like he was brought there to get him. But Daryl Morey gave up a lot for an older player who, when he's not motivated, isn't the same player. You knew something was going to happen with James Harden when he, pulled his hamstring last week, when he checked out scoring in single digits last week, when he hasn't played in three games, even though the Nets are faltering and currently on a 10-game losing streak. You knew something, like I said, when he scored in the single digits. You knew something when he looked a little bit tired. You knew something when he was here. Look, I was at the game, working the game, when they when Brooklyn played Phoenix. He didn't look like an interested, engaged guy. I even sent a tweet out saying how the offense looked different with him versus how it looked with Kyrie. How there seemed to be motion and movement with Kyrie on the floor and how there seemed to be a lot of stagnant offense, guys standing and watching. And James is back to the last days in Houston where he pounded the ball through the floor and then just did a step back three. See, I'm not big on who won the trade. But I am big on looking at who put who in what position. A motivated James Harden is good, but how good is a motivated James Harden? Was he motivated when he played with Chris Paul? Was he motivated when he played with Kevin Durant before? Was he motivated when he played with Kevin Durant this time? Was he motivated when he played with Russell Westbrook? When was he motivated? And where did they get you? I think Philly lost a lot to get James. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying it's not going to fit. But they gave up some pieces to a team in their own conference to get James, to see what James you actually get. I can go on and on about this, but at this time I'm going to bring my man on. He's going to have better insight than I have since he's in the situation. Make sure you read his stuff in regards to this trade and everything else that happens with Philly. He knows his hoops, but he also likes the New York Giants. But don't hold that against him. It's my guy, the one and only Keith Pompey. Good morning, bro. What's happening?
What's up? Hey, man. I was getting ready to say, you want me to talk basketball? You want me to talk about trash the Bears are? But okay.
Hey, those Bears been doing you wrong the last couple of years, but doing me right. So can't talk about them too bad.
Hey, you know what I was going to say? I was like, hey, you know some of those bets I lost? If I come on, can we take some off?
Look, I'd be like, no, that's all right. I'll see you next month. I'll see you.
I know, right? You're going to have me take out a loan to take you out. As much money I'll be.
What's going on this morning, bro?
Nah, I'm good. You?
Good, man. I take it you've been a little busy.
Yeah, you know what? Yesterday was the first day that I was able to relax. And it's funny, a friend of mine texted me this morning, yo, you setting up your James Harden interview yet? I said, nah, I just want to take a breath, at least right now. Like, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
There's a lot going on. I mean, there were so many red flags that things were going to happen. I mean, you know how, look, James is an ASU dude. So we always follow him a lot, you know, a lot was going on with him down here just because of his ties to ASU. But when he scored single digits in a game, and then he pulled his hamstring, and I'm hard weak on the hamstring, and then Doc canceled the practice. There was just like signs everywhere that something was going down.
Yeah, yeah, I was even shocked that Doc did spoke to the media, and then when you listen to his talk, like he said, he was heartbroken and. And knowing that, you know, you got to continue, you tell young coaches, you got to continue to love your players and open up to them and do this and that. And you know they'll be mad, but at the same time, you can't stop. Like, it's like, whoa, uh-oh, something happened. Like, you knew it. I mean, this was one of those things where, I mean, I remember back in, I want to say November, we were in Denver. I believe it was November. And I remember talking to a source. And the guy said, hey, man, James Harden. And I was like, huh? He said, yeah, like they talking about going after James Harden this summer. But then as it happened, you could tell it got a little sped up. You know what I mean? Things weren't really working out for James and Brooklyn. But, it just seemed like, and you also heard that, you know, as much as Daryl Morey and Sean Marks kept saying they're not communicating, the people I talked to said, believe me, there's some discussions going on, like via third party backdoor, things. There was a lot of communication, and that James wanted to come and he wanted to be a 76er. So, you know, is it surprising? No. But at the same time, you know, like you said, there was a lot of clues going on, towards the end.
The one thing that gets me though, and I got to stop and think about this and say this. Daryl Morey kept sending out these signals. I want Dame Willard, and then you got to send me picks, and then you got to send me another player, and you got to send me all this for me to get off Ben Simmons, which everyone dismissed because no one was going to send their frontline player and picks and all this stuff. So it sounded like a bunch of hot air. But then at the end of the day, he makes the trade, and he gives up size, shooting, two picks, which where they're going to pick, it doesn't really matter. But you end up giving up two picks, your frontline player, and some players to a team in your own conference and division that may come back and bite you in the butt. I don't understand how all that, and I'm going to use a big Stephen A. word, all that bloviating, and then he ends up giving up the stuff that he said he wanted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like it was James Harden the bus. And I think what they were trying to do is they, like, you know, Brooklyn was to see the point is, you know, the trade was going to get done today, no matter what, right? The trade was going to get done. I mean, yesterday, because you know, you heard through the back channels that Brooklyn really didn't know what it was going to be like if he came back, what the locker room was going to be like. Guys on the team didn't like him anymore; they wanted him out. But the deal is. The thing is, it's like, yes, the 76ers was talking all that stuff. They was trying to get over on everyone else, and you look at it like Brooklyn got over on them, but he was the guy they wanted. They really wanted him. I mean, think about how much money he's going to make, right?
Yeah.
So I think they looked at it like, you know what, we really got to swing for the fences, and we have to do this. And, yeah, the Drummond thing was a hurt piece. Seth Curry was a hurt piece, too, because giving him up. Because when you look at Seth, it's one of those things where Joe Harris is injured, so they need a shooter to go around all these all-stars they had. And you're like, wow, you just gave him a shooter. And now when you look at the Brooklyn Nets starting lineup, you got Drummond, who was a three-time All-Star. Ben Simmons, a three-time All-Star. Kyrie and KD, future Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? So, like, Brooklyn is loaded, man. They're, like, loaded right now. And the Sixers gave that, all that up, you know, for James. And like you said, it can come back and bite them in the butt.
On the Cave Show this morning, day after a good trade, a good, exciting trade deadline, the one only Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, did the weight, did the balance of power change at all with this trade? I think James Harden is a great player. I do. But when it comes to superstars, there's a word that bothers me when they get described, motivated. So I heard a lot of people say, well, if they get a motivated James Harden, I hate when any athlete is described like that, because it means half the time they're not motivated. I think he will be motivated, but if they lose that shooting, can he make up the difference, especially with the fact he's been out hurt? It's not if Joel goes out, but we know he's going to go out for a couple games here and there. The timing on that means a lot. Did the weight change, the power change in the East with that? It's really higher up now than they were before the trade?
You know what? It's just tough. It's kind of like, I hate to say it, it's like that wait and see type of thing. And I know that sounds like, come on, Chief, bro, you got to step out and you got to say something. But we don't know. Like, you really don't know. I mean, you know, because you look at Brooklyn, and even though Brooklyn, lost, like, you know, a plethora of games, what is it, 8, 9 games now
ten.
In a row? Ten. So you have to think, like, okay, once KD comes back, once they get Ben playing for a couple weeks and all this other stuff, they're going to be a better team. I mean, you know, and you look at it, you know, James didn't want to be there. But then you look at it, and you got to ask yourself, okay, what we saw in Brooklyn, was that because, quote unquote, he wasn't motivated, or was it a point that he's in decline? You know what I mean? And then also, Joel Embiid, you know, is having the best season of his career because he doesn't have to share the spotlight with someone else. So with that being said, you want to ask yourself, like, how is this going to work? You know, how is this going to work? Because, you know, a lot of times you say to yourself, like, look, yes, this is Joel's team, but this CEO was James Harden's CEO in Houston. This president of basketball ops was James Harden's president of basketball ops in Houston. And, you know, so, like, there's a lot of questions for me that I have to see. I just got to see how it's going to work, man. I really do. I think it could work. But you just have to see how it's going to work. So I don't know if they're going to move up. Now, on paper, everybody says they are, but you know, you don't win games on paper. You don't win them on paper.
You know, I honestly do like the trade. I like the move because I think it helps everybody. I do. I think mentally it helps everybody. What gets me, though, is James kicked in that $47 million, which I don't blame him. I kick in that $47 million. And he had to, obviously, to make the trade work. But he's up for an extension, which is going to pay him, when he's 38, $62 million a year. When just that piece alone would have me like, ooh, it's a lot of money for a 38-year-old guy that sometimes struggles to stay in shape, struggles to be motivated, and struggles with those hamstrings. That's a lot of money to pay him at 38.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it was one of those things where, like, they've had to gamble. Like, Daryl Morey, once he came here, part of the lure of getting him, from what I hear, sources told me, was because they wanted him to be able to bring James Harden here, right? That was part of it, you know. Also, I mean, they did love him. He made a boatload of money. Daryl Morey's making $10 million a year. Doc's making $8 million, right? So when you factor in, you look at Joel Embiid. He's 28. He's had every season that he's played. This time he wasn't really injured, but every season before this, he missed considerable time because of an injury. Every season. So when you look at his window, now he does have a crazy contract too, talking about like on the back end. But when you look at it right now, the Sixers' window to win is this season, next season, and maybe the year after that, right? That's it. I mean, that's it. Then it closes. So
yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but I think, like, they gave him that money because they don't care. They're going all in. And it's kind of sort of like if you get a title, if you get a title, then it's kind of like, yo, that money is we're thanking you for all the good years of service you had. Like you brought it, you know what I mean? You know how it is. It's always
right,
that one
right.
dude. Like for instance, there's this one dude that comes to the Sixers game, Freddie Mitchell. He went to UCLA. He was an Eagles receiver, FedEx, they called
yeah.
him. He caught the ball like 4th and 40 or whatever it was, or 4th and 28, whatever it was, right? He catches it.
Yep.
This dude, he's always at the games getting shot out and doing like the weight belt, like the you know, like celebration, right? And it's kind of like people love him because he caught that pass. So if James Harden brings a championship to Philly, he's going to be forever known as the guy who helped Joel. Like they had to go get him to help Joel get the title. So that's $48 million at the end, or $60 million at the end of that contract. People are like, yeah, it looks bad, but he sure brought us a championship. Thank you, Dan. And here's another thing. Here's another thing. All the president cares about Daryl Morey is winning the title. That's not his fault that the owners agreed to give him that money.
Very true. Very true. I tell you what, I remember Freddie Mitchell when he thanked his hands for that catch at the end of the game. I'll never forget that. It was against Green Bay, too. Because any time Green Bay loses, that's like a Bears win. It's always in my memory banks. So there was a lot of trades, and I'll get back to this before we hang up, but there was a lot of trades made. Obviously, I'm going to focus a lot on what happened here in Phoenix. I think the Suns, for a team that's already, in my opinion, is the best team in the NBA, they really shored up a couple positions. I think they did a masterful job, James Jones and Monty Williams, of showcasing Jalen Smith, who in essence is a fifth-string center, and turn him into Torrey Craig, a guy who took money from Indiana, who made his money, but is coming back to Phoenix for Jalen and a 2022 second-round pick, which basically is a draft and stash European guy normally at that pick. And then they use their injury exception space to trade Washington for Aaron Holiday for some backup third-string shooting in case of emergency. I think the Suns did really well because there was no need to move a frontline player. There was no need to move anybody in method of chemistry. Just in you watching, I know you probably don't have all the details with everything, but just in watching Phoenix the other day when they were out there, what are your thoughts about watching them, how they're playing, and what do you think their chances are of doing well and going deep in the playoffs?
Man, watching the Suns, they're like a sneaky team. Like last night I watched the game, and I just saw them put it on the Bucks, right? And I'm saying to myself, and I know it's a regular season game, but I'm saying to myself, like, is this team really that good, or are we just, like, overlooking them? I mean, it's something about them. It's like, I know they got Book. You know, I know they have Chris Paul and a couple young guys. But even though they went to the championship last year, you keep telling yourself it's not their time. It's not their time until they go ahead and play someone good, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's definitely their time. Like, you know, so to me, my impressions are, like, this is a team that, even though they're the best team in the NBA, that they're motivated still, and they're going to sneak up on people. And I know some people might say, what are you talking about? They're the best team. What I'm saying is like, for whatever reason, they don't get the respect. Like, when you talk about teams that's going to win, it's something like sometimes people outside of Phoenix bring up other squads. Oh, they're going to get this together. They're going to get that together. They're going to come back. Nah, this team is good, and they're young, and they could be good for a long time. And then the thing is, you look at all the other teams who are, you know, leading, like Chicago and, you know, okay, like that. Like, you see our best looking, they didn't make moves, right? But Phoenix did. And with you, and like you said, they didn't, like, mess up their lineup, the starting lineup. They went out there and got, like, pieces that can help them in the playoffs, like rotation pieces. I don't know, like Monty Williams, he should have been coach of the year last year. He's going to get it this year. I think that Chris Paul, like Embiid, is getting a lot of hype because he the things that he's doing. But, you know, Chris Paul, what are you, like, you know, Chris Paul is at his age, the things that he's doing in the leadership quality, he should be in the running for MVP as well. You know, I just really like this team, and I think that the fact that people don't talk about them a lot, it keeps them motivated, keeps them driven, keeps them make sure that they're going to do what they have to do, and I expect them to win the championship.
No, and the Suns are still writing Philly a thank you letter for Mikal Bridges, because I don't know if you've noticed, but he's not just a 3-and-D guy. He actually now is. His game has grown. He's putting the ball on the floor. He's getting the mid-range spots. He's diving. He's doing a lot of different things. And he guards the most difficult, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4 at times during the game, basically to give everyone else a rest. So I know that there's a big thank you note that's owed to Philly for that, because I don't even remember who they traded him for. I think it was Shake Milton, but how's that working out for Philly, by the way?
Zaire, he's gone. Like, Zaire was a great guy. You know, here's a funny thing. No. He was. Like, he really was. Like, he had bad luck. Here's the problem. So I'm going to be honest. So, like, there was a guy a couple years ago, my second year on the beat, a brother by the name of KJ McDaniels, who went to Clemson. He was extremely athletic. He was a 3-and-D. The problem is he couldn't shoot, right? He wanted to be a 3-and-D, but he couldn't shoot. But he was extremely athletic. He could defend. Well, next thing you know, they trade him because he doesn't want that contract. So they always start trying to replace and get this 3-and-D guy, right? So then they come up on, you know, my man, Bridges. But while Bridges was there, they brought in this guy, Zaire Smith, to a workout. Now, the ownership group had a lot of say on who they were drafting. Now, you look at this guy, Bridges. You know his personality, cool, calm, collective. You know, he's athletic. He has long arms. But he doesn't wow you, like, with his athleticism if you see him, like, in a one-on-one type of setting. You know what I'm saying? He's a long, skinny dude, but he doesn't wow you. Well, let me tell you, the dude Zaire Smith, if Zaire Smith was running track, he would be in the Olympic trials. That's how fast he was. If Zaire Smith was wanting to play football, he would be in the NFL, right? He was one of these guys. So apparently, during his workout, he was dunking on people. And they got amazed by the dunk and was saying,
gotcha.
Wow, he's going to be good. And look at what you have now. So they shipped this one dude away because this other dude was dunking on people. So it just looks... It's bad. So, like, his nickname became the Jumping Man. You know what I mean? From certain people, like, was like, they picked the Jumping Man over the champion. So, a lot of people in Philly are still upset about that. Very upset about that. And, you know, they got Matisse Thybulle, but Matisse, I love Matisse, but Bridges can bring it on both sides of the floor. Matisse may be a slightly better defender. Matisse is really good, but I think Bridges is a very underrated defender when we talk about the elite. You know what I mean? Again, it's that Phoenix thing that people don't talk about him nationally like they should.
Right.
But Matisse is an all-league defender, but Bridges, I'm telling you, if they would have had Bridges on that team when they played, even as his rookie year, that team with Brooklyn, I believe that that team that played Toronto, I believe that they would beat the Raptors. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah, and he's locked up, so he's going nowhere for a while. And like you said, just last thing on the Suns, I think the reason they don't get that shine, in all honesty, is we know what Chris Paul is. We know what Book is. Like you said, we know what Bridges is. We know what DeAndre Ayton is. But none of them, I've been using this word. It's an old man word. They're not YouTubable, or they're not TikTok. You know, every now and then Chris will do something that'll land on a TikTok video or YouTube, but they don't have those type of stars. Excuse me, they don't have the LeBrons or the Harden shoot nine threes, or they don't have the young guy out in Memphis that's ridiculously, Ja Morant, that's ridiculously athletic. They don't have a YouTubable guy. They're a team that just everyone, using a football term, just does their job. And no one does more than they're expected to do. No one does any extra. Book can get 35 just walking out of bed. And when he used to do that, they used to say, well, but they lose. And now he gets it and they win, and it's almost effortless. And I think that's why they're overlooked, just because they're not as sexy. I mean, think about it. He dates someone from the Kardashian tree, and you wouldn't even know it if people didn't say anything, unlike everybody else who dates people from the Kardashian tree. So I think a lot of it has to do with it. They just fly under the radar.
Yeah, they do. They do. But you know what? It's also they have a team, too. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these people we're talking about, you know, like, yeah, you can get a lot of points, but what is your team doing? And one thing you said, you're right, the Book was scoring all those points, and they were losing, you know. So I think of the team. I also think that, you know, you look at the guys that they have, you know, outside of them, you know, some of these dudes, I mean, they're pretty good, but they're all like reserve. I mean, they're all like role players, but solid role
right.
players. But they all have like a similar personality. Like, you know, you don't have a bunch of look at me guys, like the flamboyant, you know what I mean? Like, it's all about me. And I think, you know, that's what, unfortunately, those are the things that sell. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the things that sell. Like, the only thing that is I like Book. I like him a lot. But the thing that I think about when I see him is like, yes, the Kardashian girl, the Jenna girl. But then you also think of his car, that old Chevy that he has. I think that's
yeah.
what it is. Like, yeah, yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, player. I didn't know you would have had that. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, but aside from that, it's kind of like, you know, they are what they are. But I tell you, though, now here's something else that we got to talk about, though. We're going to talk about how if you're Philly, the people in Philly, you're going to be mad because of the draft pick that they gave them. But you know that's kind of like Sixers West. Like, and they got two assistant coaches, and then the head coach. Like a lot of people, when Brett Brown was the head coach and he was there for that 1 year, a lot of people wanted Monty. Like if they would have fired Brett, a lot of people wanted Monty to become the head coach. And people forget, like Randy Ayers was a head coach with the Sixers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Wasn't Mark Bryant over there too?
Yep. Oh, man, it was like, I don't know if Mark Bryant was a coach. He might have had what's the other guy? Oh, man, his name escapes me. But he came with Monty from the Sixers.
Okay. Oh, Willie Green was there for a while, wasn't he?
Well,
before
Willie
he
Green
left and became New Orleans.
Yeah, he was there. But
okay.
Yeah, it was like three of them. But then there's another guy, Todd. What's his name? Oh, man.
I know you're right. It escaped me, too.
Yeah, yeah. Good dude,
yeah,
though. Really nice. Real down there.
Yep. Yeah, man. Philly's been good to Phoenix. We appreciate that. We really appreciate that. And look, a couple other quick trades that were made yesterday, just without any detail, I mean, any in-depth stuff. I just want to get your quick opinion on this. I saw that the Bucks got Serge Ibaka, Clippers ended up getting Rodney Hood and Semi Ojeleye. I always mess up that name. And do you think Serge, just opinion, you think Serge would be healthy enough to help them come playoff time, considering he's had back issues?
You know what? I think he'll be healthy enough to help him back playoff time. I mean, I think when you look at it, you know, teams make trades because they see what people are doing. And when to me, when I looked at that trade, I looked at how Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol used to be a thorn in Embiid's side. So you get a guy like that, and then also the Lopez brother that they have also gives Embiid some fits. Like Embiid has a hard time guarding that guy, right? Because the guy is always moving. And Serge is like him and Marc Gasol know the tricks. So when you look at it, you look at Embiid and you look at how dominant he is, and I think sometimes that you will pick up a guy, just say, hey, look, we need some reinforcement in this position to help us with a guy just in case. And Toronto did that a couple years ago, you know, when they got Serge and they got Mark. And so I look at things like that where they start thinking about we need a guy who can help us with these bigs. Because I hate to say it, like James Harden is a good addition, but before James came, it was one of those things that if you stopped Embiid, then the Sixers were done. And so it's still Embiid, you have to figure that he's still the head of the snake.
And then the Mavericks, we all heard rumors and talk that Porzingis and Luka weren't exactly best of friends, but they shipped him to the Wizards for Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Is that a running in place trade? Or, I mean, to your opinion, because I'm looking at this trade and saying Dallas doesn't get better by this. The Wizards, their season's already washed with Bill out. Was this a trade just because a guy didn't like a guy? Why was that trade even made?
Yeah, it is a crazy trade. Now, to me, the only piece that I like, and this might sound crazy because he's the most of the three, he's the unheralded one, right, of them, is Bertans. I think, like, you know, we got a team like Dallas where, you know, they like shooting the three and stuff like that, and you have, you know, Luka who likes getting guys open, you know what I mean, and Bertans is going to be the beneficiary. I think he kind of, like, lost his way a little bit once you know, Washington got a lot of these guys out there. But, again, you know, he had a nice salary and all this and that. These other two dudes, it's kind of like they were like a problem, a headache. Like Spencer Dinwiddie, you find out when he was in Brooklyn, his teammates didn't like him. He goes to Washington, you find out his teammates, they don't like him, right? So then you look at Porzingis, you know, him and Luka didn't get along. Like, you know, and then it's kind of like he's always injured. So to me, it's kind of like both teams were trading each other's problems. And to me, I don't know if I really want to bring some type of player into my locker room where they didn't get along with players at their previous two stops, you know. And, you know, we all know that he can't be the man, talking about Dinwiddie. He can't be the man in Dallas. We all know that. But it's one of those things where, you know, I guess you try it out, but you got to be 100% careful that you don't destroy the team chemistry.
And then last one last two real quick. What exactly are the Celtics doing? They brought back Daniel Theis, but they sent out Schroeder and Enes Freedom and Bruno Fernando for Daniel Theis. And rumor has it Schroeder will be bought out by Houston. And then they also got Derek White, but they sent Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford, and a second-round pick and a first-round pick. And I'm just shaking my head. Here's a team that had so many assets. And when they had a good team, they never used them. And now they're just – it's almost like they're trading for the sake of trade. Any idea what the hell Boston is doing?
Yeah, it on paper it does sound crazy. But when you look at, you know, Boston right now, they're number seventh in the East, right? They did win – well, they won six games in a row, right? But when you look at it, you know, Daniel Theis, they had a lot of success with him. And they had success when he was, like, back with Al, when Al was the starting center. And he was, like, the third-string center. He would come in. And then after Al left, you know, he was, like, the starter. So So I think, like, but it was one of those things. Remember, they didn't really want to pay him. Like,
yeah.
It was like they didn't want to go in some, like, tax, so they got rid of him. So I think that's a huge pickup. The thing with Josh Richardson, I think he's a great player, but he's had a hard time latching on after he left Miami. You know, he goes
right.
to Philly. You know, they trade him in a Jimmy Butler trade, right? And then after that, they trade him a year later to Dallas. Then he goes to Boston. And now he's getting shopped out again. You know, the thing about the Schroeder thing is, you know, when I looked at him, he just didn't seem like a real, really good fit. I mean, he was good, but he just didn't seem like a good fit, you know, because the thing is, in Boston, unfortunately, you got two extremely ball-dominant players, and they take the load. So you got a point guard, and it's kind of like, yo, he ain't touching the ball anyway, so you might as well be better off having like a combo guard who can shoot threes, and that's his specialty, just slide off the ball and do over. So those moves, I know they sound crazy, and, you know, the thing about Romeo Langford, you know, you think like, okay, a young guy, do this and that, but sometimes for you to get somebody out of there, the other team is like, nah, bro, you're going to have to send me something that I want too. Right? So
yeah.
I think that had a lot to do with it. But like, I look at it, and again, teams are trying to load up and get some interior players who can help them. And you look at the dude that they got from the Spurs. He's a quality white guy. You know, his last name is White, Derek White. He's a quality defender. Quality defender, 3-and-D guy. So, you know, it is what it is. I think that what they were trying to load up on is, let's just get some dudes who don't need the ball, who can do certain jobs, and we're trying to make a run. Now, again, if it doesn't work out and they start losing, then people are going to be extremely critical. But, you know, I understand what they're doing. Now, the only problem is they just better hope that once they do the buyout, that Schroeder doesn't come back to the East and maybe like
yeah.
the Sixers or another team as a backup point guard.
I tell you what, Schroeder lost $84 million. That's why he ain't playing motivated. But that's a hard pill to swallow. Turn down 84 and get 5.9. That would I wouldn't be able to sleep ever. But I want to ask you about Super Bowl before you get out of here. But I gotta ask you this. I think Russell Westbrook is getting a bad rap in L.A., and here's why. You knew what you were getting when you got him. You knew he was a 30% three-point shooter. You knew he was a 40% field goal shooter. You knew that athletes that can't shoot, that are ball dominant, they can't all of a sudden just learn to shoot and play off the ball. You knew everything that you were getting when you got him. And then you blame him for everything. And that's why I think that loss to Portland the other night really showed it's not just Westbrook. It's the construction of the team. It's the way the team plays. It's the way there's no energy. And it's almost like some of the guys that want a ring are playing satisfied, i.e. street clothes, as opposed to playing hard all the time. I don't think Russ is the only problem. I think he's part of the problem. But I don't blame him because they knew what they were getting. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, the problem is you're letting, like, LeBron and them do what they want to do. I mean, it just seems like the players decided. I mean, you think about it. I mean, I don't know how much truth this is, but you hear, like, DeMar DeRozan thought that he had a deal in place to go there, right? You know, you think about that, how, you know, DeMar DeRozan be a quality two guard for them, and he would excel. You know what I mean? You look at DeMar DeRozan right now, he's the reason why the Bulls are in second place, right? He's also an MVP candidate, a first team, all-star starter, right? So you look at the Russell thing, and then all of a sudden they have a meeting with Russ, the players meeting him and him, LeBron and AD, and then all of a sudden it's like, we got this big three. But you know that all those things that you said were correct about his shooting, about three-point shooting. But what he is he's a rhythm player. He has the ball in his hand. After all, he makes stuff happen because of that. But when you take the ball out of his hands for stretches of a game, then he's out of the rhythm and he's going to struggle. So it's kind of like, you know, and it's one of those things where he has this exorbitant contract. So the OKC is like, yo, we getting rid of him. We're going to let him rebuild. Mason, he wouldn't get done. Then he goes to Houston. That doesn't work out. He goes to Washington. And then, you know, he was having some type of success there. And then all of a sudden he wants out of there and goes to goes to L.A. Like, I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where you look at that team and it was kind of like the old heads coming back to the park that they used to run the park back in the day and realize they can't go with these young boys. And I feel like, you know what? You can't get a guy like that and then put him in there with LeBron when both of them need the ball. So that was like, again, it's not his fault. It was their fault. That's not the right situation for him at all. It's not the right situation.
Yeah, agreed. I just thought, man, they blame him for everything. You know, inflation went up in L.A. Oh, that's Russ's fault. Everything is Russ's fault. I'm just like, man, it's not his fault. So, all right, so I got to ask you, Super Bowl, you know, I don't know if people want to follow your football picks. You know, you know your hoops, but as a Giants fan, I don't know how you do with this football, but go ahead and get it to me. Let's see what you think.
All I know is since Pitt produces better football players than Arizona State, I'm going with the Rams.
Wait, hold up now. You know, there are some ballers from ASU in the past.
There were some ballers. Yeah, come on, bro. All right. The greatest quarterback y'all had was Danny White, right? Or Jake the Snake. Come on, bro. They're nice. They're nice. I mean, you know, Danny White was like punting the ball. I give him that. He was a pretty good punter. He was the Rattlers coach, but was he better than Dan Marino?
No. And I know you got Dorsett. I know you had him too. So yeah. I'll concede that. But Brandon Ayuk is doing his thing out in San Francisco. So I got to go there.
We have a couple good
stud cornerbacks that came out of ASU. You know what? We're well-rounded. See, we're like the Suns. As opposed to focusing on one thing, one superstar, we have a little bit of everybody.
Larry Fitzgerald. Even though he sold out and claimed University of Phoenix because they paying him, I graduated. I like, get that money, bro. Get that money. You know what I mean? So look, I do think the Bengals, if we're gonna be serious, I do think the Bengals, you know, they have a good story and like that quarterback. Man, I mean, he just amazes me how he's able to turn stuff around, you know, that way. But I just think that when you have veterans for a game of that magnitude, now, you can also say you don't know what you don't know, but for a game of that magnitude, I look at the Rams, they look like an all-star team, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we need a standout defensive end. Okay. We need another wideout. Okay. You know what I mean? So, like, you look at these guys, and they, like, honestly, they got, like, Hall of Fame-type players, you know, in key positions. So, I know the pressure is going to be on them, but I just think that they'll pull it out. I just do. I think that the Rams will pull it out. And I don't know, doesn't it seem kind of weird to say the Bengals are the world or the Super Bowl champions? It just doesn't sound right.
No, this is where, because I don't have a dog in this race anyway, or a horse in this race, whatever that saying is. I would like to see Cincinnati win, but if I was betting, I'd take the Rams. They just have too much. And here's why, too. All we've heard for the last week and a half is Joe Burrow. Those dudes in that other locker room get paid, too. And I'm telling you, something tells me that Ram defensive line is saying, we are sick of hearing about this guy getting sacked and getting up and this guy doing this and ticking. I think Aaron Donald's going to say, okay, he's been hit before. He ain't been hit by me. Let's see if he gets hit. Let's see if he gets up after I hit him. Or Von Miller. Let's see if he gets up and is able to do all those things after I hit him. I just think it's going to be something a little different this time. And I think the Rams are not only going to win, they're going to win handily.
Yeah,
I'm with you
mean,
on that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And here's the thing. Like the Super Bowl, people are like, well, yeah, the Rams are going to have to – it's going to be a lot of different fans there. I'm like, well, there's always a lot of different fans when the Rams play. So they're good.
Yep.
You know,
hell, they may have got to get more Ram fans.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? They may. I mean, it's – but I'm just – that's a knock because, like, my people, like, in L.A. don't really support the Rams. And whenever you go to a game, you always see, like, a lot of different – like the opposing team has, it's like a neutral site. So, you know, so like people are saying, well, how are they going to deal when they don't have all their fans in there? And I'm telling people they don't always have their fans in there. They never have all their fans in there. You know, it's like going to a Bears game.
Hey, let me tell you something. So I've been looking through all these restaurants for March when you come to town, and I'm narrowing it down to about 3 or 4. So I got a couple spots picked out, you know, so we can do this thing right. I'm looking forward to our bet next year because this is starting to get fun, bro. Just to let you know, this really starting to get fun.
I know. My wife is like, why you keep betting him? He's taking advantage of you. He doesn't like you. It's like some serious thing. Hey, it's first day of school. If you give me $10, I'll be your friend. Then you give me $10, I need $15.
You know what? Hey, but listen, this time we don't get a chance to get them cigars in.
No doubt.
I got a couple cigars ready for you. And like I said, just remember what you smoke, man. That's the most important thing. Just remember what you smoke. So that way, you know, we're on the same page.
All right, man.
Listen, brother, I thank you. Tell everyone where they can check you out, especially since I see Locked On Sixers is rolling again.
Yeah, I got it back for now. Let's see how long it lasts. So you can follow my podcast. Now it's not only I have a co-host. His name is Kai Carlin. So you can follow us anywhere you can get your podcast at. It's Locked On 76ers. You can also read my stuff in Inquirer.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers, and you can follow me on IG at Pompey on Sixers.
Yo, bro, I appreciate it. Like I said, I'll make sure I don't pick a restaurant that we have to dress up for. But I'm thinking a little bit more high scale, you know, something. I ain't trying to keep the kids out of college, but I'm gonna try to come close.
Yeah, I know. I told you. I told my wife I got sick out of lungs. Yeah. I might need to walk around with some armed bodyguards.
All right, bro. Listen, man. Be safe out there. Be chill. I'm sure we'll catch up before the week is up.
All right, my man. All right.
All right,
we're talking
take
to you.
Take care.
Bro.
Talk to you later. Always. Thank you, bro. Yep. That's my guy, Keith Pompey. Every year, just so you know, it's a side thing. Every year, we have a little bet. He's a Giants fan. I'm a Bears fan. And we always bet on who has the best record. This year, we had a sweetener because they played each other. So it's always fun to catch up. Know this stuff. Make sure you follow him. Make sure you follow all his stuff. Make sure you read all of his stuff. Hey, listen, I knew I blew through a whole lot of commercials, all of them, which is perfectly fine by me when you have someone on that's as knowledgeable as Keith Pompey is. Listen, let's do this spot real quick, and then let's get ready. Get out of here.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Thank you, everyone, for checking us out. I know we were really NBA heavy on the draft. Had to be. The draft was yesterday. Listen, this show will be replayed at our normal time at 1 o'clock. Tuesday. So for those of you that missed, you'll have it at your normal time. For those of you who liked it, you can check it out again. Also, make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave, Caves with the K, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Caves with the K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Also, we're on Spotify as well as iHeartRadio. Make sure you follow us. The Cave Show is brought to you by the Sports Cave. That way, when new shows pop up, all you have to do is get your alert, go there, and definitely check them out. We really appreciate that. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. Super Bowl, we will have the whole wrap-up next week, of course. Talk about who won, who went this, who won that, the commercials, everything. So we'll get all that stuff definitely wrapped up next week. Until then, listen, everyone, be safe. Have a great weekend. Take care of each other. And just be safe. Take care of yourself. Do whatever measures you need to out there to be safe with the virus still going around. Thanks, Keith Pompeo, for hanging out with us today here on The Cave Show with PLR. Have a good weekend. And like we always say, tips, bring us home.